Christ our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I lived in Maryland, we had a beltway with four lanes on each side, and it was always a parking lot. It just seemed like there was never enough room for all the cars, so I always looked for ways to take shortcuts. If I could take a shortcut through town, that was great. There was one hospital that I seemed to be frequenting more than others to visit folks, and one of my older members who had been a Maryland resident for many years knew a shortcut. And he said, I happen to be going to visit this member, and why don't you come with me so I can show you this shortcut? It's through an area that very few people know about. So I was really excited about that. I get in Bill's car, and he had a nice car, and he was telling me he really loved the car because the mirrors on either side were so big and he could see out the rear view mirror so well. I was happy about that because it seemed that he was a very safe driver because he was looking in his rear view mirror till we got on the road, and I noticed he was looking more in the rear view mirror than out the windshield. And so I started to pray for my safety. I promised the Lord that if I got out of that alive, I would never, ever ride with him again, with him being the driver. And I kept that promise to the day he died. And then I looked up and I could still see him doing this. And of course, he's swerving around. Fortunately, it was a road that not too many people were on. And I finally couldn't stand it anymore. And I said, Bill, the window you're supposed to be looking out of is in front of you, the windshield, not your rear view mirror. Okay, Pastor, okay, yeah, I'll do that. Somehow we got there and back, and I think I said it more than once. Sometimes we negotiate life by driving, looking at the rearview mirror instead of right in front of us. And we in the church have that problem too. After all, we have ancient texts. We have our church history. And so often, rather than looking ahead of us, we're looking behind and we're living in the past. And as we get a little older, that seems to be a problem. I know I do that. I'm guilty of that. I look especially on Facebook. We have all this wonderful technology now. And there's a site called Old Staten Island. And I can look at that, and through rose-colored glasses, I view my past. Now, I know it wasn't all that great, but we kind of make things up as we go along, as we look in the rearview mirror. Now, the rearview mirror is okay to get us adjusted. It's okay to know where we've come from. It's important to know that, but we can't live back there. There was somebody who was looking in his rearview mirror, and that was Paul. And he was glancing in the rearview mirror to see where he came from. And when he did, he talked about all his pedigree. Here was a man who had a wonderful, illustrious past. He was circumcised on the eighth day, which every good Jewish family did. He was a Pharisee, which meant he was part of the religious elite. He was a zealot for the faith. And he said, but you know, as I look at all of that, I count it all trash because I found something that can't compare. And he said, that was my faith in Jesus cannot compare. And one of the most wonderful things about our faith is that it's not about the past. It's always about the present and the future. We can look to the past and say, thank you. But it's the present and the future that God is concerned about in our lives. And so Paul, even though he had lost so much, even though he had suffered so much, he didn't look back and say, wow, I gave up a lot for Jesus. I'm really a good guy. He said, no, that was all trash. Everything I've had in Christ is so much better. and I can thank him. Well, what did Jesus do for him? Although he was a zealot, although he was the fair-haired boy of the Pharisees, his faith was a very destructive one, because you remember, Paul was the one who hauled Christians into the authorities and was responsible for many people's jail and death. But in Christ, he found life. It's the same principle that Mary had when she was with Jesus in that room with Lazarus, her brother who had been raised from the dead. And what did she do? She took the most expensive thing in her house and poured it out for Jesus. Not because she was sacrificing, but because she was so grateful, because Jesus had given life back to her family. And that's what Jesus does. He gives us life. And so Paul tells us how we are to live, not looking and living in the past. He said, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. Because in Christ, we always have a future with hope. I learned that in the life of the grandmother that Bob just lost, Ann Volpe. I never really had a chance to talk to her much when we were first married, because we lived in Maryland and she lived way out in Illinois. Of course, when we came here, it was a lot closer. But in 2003, I had the opportunity to go to Illinois and meet with her and have a real conversation with her. She had just lost her husband. She was in her 80s. And I expected to see someone in mourning, someone looking back, because she had a lot of limitations on her. But Anne was a very different kind of person, a person that I didn't expect to meet. She was the head of her Rosary Society. She would go to the nursing homes and say the Rosary to all the people who were there. She was the head of the Toluca, Illinois food pantry. And she was telling me what joy she had when she was running that food pantry. And she said sometimes it was hard to find the people who really needed the help. So she would pray and ask God to send her those that were in need. I would never pray for that. I thought she was crazy. But why would you ask for trouble? But she would embrace that. And she talked to me with such joy about her work for the Lord and her work in the community. Well into her 80s, she was still taking care of herself. Her son was living with her at the time, and she thought that was too confining, so she went and got herself her own apartment because she really wanted to be able to get out and do the things that she felt God wanted her to do. And then when she was in her 90s, she had a stroke. And last year, Bob and I visited with her, and her life was confined to one of those cubicles that nursing homes call rooms. And she had all the pictures on the wall, and we had to send her small pictures because there were no room for the big pictures. And she was in a wheelchair, and I thought it must be awful for a person who was so active. But she was not unhappy. She was not looking back. She knew the names of all the residents and all their problems. And she was still giving. In fact, there was a big picture of her in the hallway, resident of the month, and it listed all the activities that she was involved in. She was straining forward to what lies ahead because she knew Jesus. And even in the confines of the wheelchair, she knew Jesus. Even in the confines of that room, she knew Jesus. And life was so much bigger than that room or her physical limitations. And the most wonderful thing came March 13th, when Bob found out his grandma had died and we were crying about it. Tears soon turned to joy, because she didn't die in her sleep. She didn't die in her bed. She was at a worship service in the nursing home. And within that worship service, Jesus called her home. You see, when we know Jesus, the future is always bright. This is how we live this life. We look in the rearview mirror to get our bearings, to understand what was behind. But that's not where we live. We live into the future. And the future, knowing Jesus, is always bright. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that the life, and we praise you for the present. We praise you for the circumstances we are in at this moment, because we know that whatever they are, we face them with you. And we ask that you would draw us ever closer to you, closer to your grace and your joy and your peace, closer to the work that you have for us, the work of bringing more and more people to know you and to know the joy that we have, until that day when you call us home. In Jesus' name, amen.